We've been studying about accountability and consequences of life after salvation, and trying to help us to focus upon the way the Lord would have us to walk. We do want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We do want, or we should have, the desire to please Him in our daily walk. And we know that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And the only way to gain faith is through the study of God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so therefore it's important for us to study the Bible. And so we've been going over the fact that salvation has been provided for through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. And that He expects us to behave ourselves in our daily walk with Him. And there are consequences to pay, and we've been sharing that and emphasizing the fact that there are many terms that the Scriptures use, and like the fiery furnace and outer darkness and being rejected from going into the wedding feast and being beaten with many stripes and going into prison. These all are used to help us to appreciate the fact that we're not going to like the consequences. And so there are several means that the Lord has provided for us to help us to behave. One of them is rewards. If you'll do the right thing, I'll reward you. I'll give you rewards in heaven. If you don't do the right thing, it's going to cost you. Your works will be burned. And so therefore it's important for us to appreciate the fact that when Jesus told His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," He wasn't telling them to seek salvation. He was telling them to seek to rule and reign with Me in My coming kingdom. In fact, the word "seek" is in the present tense. It's not an event. It's an ongoing thing. And it's a daily thing. And it has to do with planning your walk with the Lord. A time of prayer. A time of devotions. A time of the reading of the Word of God. The time of reading the Scriptures. And there's a difference between the Word of God and the Scriptures. And so this morning I want us to focus on the fact that we need to be praying about the coming kingdom. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." To enter the kingdom is a blessing. And the entrance into the kingdom is an inheritance. It's a family matter. Inheritance is to do with rewards based upon service. In fact, the sheep were those who ministered to the Lord by ministering to each other in situations. I have included Matthew 7:21 to show that not everyone that saith unto Me, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter the kingdom. And that's what He's telling us here in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." Those that were blessed and entered and inherited the kingdom in Matthew 25:34, they were doing the will of the Father. And so we want to do the same thing. We want to do the will of the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, we find that there are going to be some that will be denied entrance into the kingdom. "Know ye not that the unrighteous or unjust," is really a better translation of that, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And we could stop right there. The unjust. And then He tacks on greater sin. Did you know that you can be unjust and not live in adultery. You can be unjust and not be a thief. You know, being unjust is just simply not trusting the Lord in your life. But let's just read this. Know ye not that the unjust shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither. Neither what? Neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, you can be unjust and not commit any of these other sins and be denied entrance into the kingdom. Doing the will of the Father is important. And part of doing the will of the Father is seeking first the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people that just get saved and they are resting on that. And that's God wants you to do more than that. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, we can wring our hands over the fact that we don't have what we think we need as far as food, clothing, and shelter. The Lord says, don't worry about that. You worry about seeking what's important to me, and I'll provide what's important to you. And I tell you, food, clothing, and sheltering is important, particularly in Minnesota. Now, if you live on the equator, you won't need shelter. You can live outside. In fact, it's implied that Jesus oftentimes slept outside. And he didn't have something to eat when he came into Jerusalem to teach. Remember when he came in to Jerusalem? Obviously, he wasn't at someone's home that provided him breakfast. Because when he came in, he looked for the fig tree to give him some breakfast, and there wasn't any breakfast there. So he used it as a teaching lesson, and he cursed the fig tree, which is actually the nation of Israel. But anyway, so we need to seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness which is of faith. I believe that's what this is referring to because of verse 20 of Matthew chapter 6. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples were taught how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, he says, "After this manner, pray ye, Our Father which is in heaven, or which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, this is a model prayer. This isn't a prayer that we pray. It's a model to help us to fashion our own prayer after. And I'm not going into all the things that he was asking us to pray about. But the main thing I wanted us to focus on was thy kingdom come. Seeking the kingdom is praying about the kingdom. It's praying that it will come. And I'm praying that it will come in my lifetime. And you know what? When you're praying about seeking the kingdom and you're praying about His kingdom coming, did you know what? That's going to make a difference in your life. Because it's in your prayer life that you're meditating upon things that are important to Him. And one of the things that's important to the Father is that His will being done. In fact, He says, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. You know what that's saying to me? I want God's will to be done in my life, whether I like it or not. That's what's important. There are times when we don't like the things that God has planned for us. Jesus had that experience in the garden. And he was praying that if it be possible this cup pass from me, let it pass. But if not, thy will be done. We'll see that in just a moment. So, we need to be praying about His coming kingdom. We need to be praying that His will be done in our lives as it is done in heaven. Now, one of the things that can happen when we stop praying is that there's a possibility of us fainting or quitting. When you've stopped your prayer life, you're on the verge of throwing in the towel. If that's what happens in the boxing ring, a lot of times when the guys are out there in boxing, the guys fighting don't know when to quit. So the so his trainer throws in the towel in the ring and say, "We've quit, and we don't want to throw the towel in when it comes to following the Lord." In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And the word faint there is to grow weary. When you're weary, your prayer life needs to step up a notch. You need to be more in contact with the Lord and be more in prayer. Prayer is not something, at least in my life, prayer is not something I just do in the morning or do when I go to bed. Prayer is something that I am involved in all day long. When the phone rings, I pray about the answering of the phone. And when information comes in the email, on the internet, I'm praying about answering questions. I'm praying about responding to people that come or that that write me on the internet. So prayer is a daily thing. Now, in one of the things that we need to be aware of, and that also affects our prayer life, is that in these last days, lawlessness is going to abound. Things around us can affect us. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 through 13, he says, "Because iniquity, that is lawlessness, anomia is the Greek word, shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold." And there's a definite article V before many, and this is a reference to the many that have been called unto his kingdom and glory. But it says, "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." How do we endure? Prayer. Our prayer life helps us to endure. And this enduring to the end doesn't mean that we'll get saved if we keep on keeping on. This word here is carries the idea of deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from the effect of lawlessness around us. We hear swearing and cursing, and we, just like it was in the days of Noah, the men's thoughts were evil continually. Violence filled the earth. We're living in that day, and those and the affairs of man around us can affect us and cause us to become discouraged in our walk with the Lord. And so therefore, if we will endure to the end by praying, the effects of lawlessness around us, we will be delivered from it. Now we need to appreciate the fact that the effectual fervent prayer of a just man or a righteous man does make a difference. We may not be able to see the difference right away, but it does make a difference. It does count. And he is a rewarder of those who pray. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "For this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I believe that prayer, our prayer life, helps us to be renewed day by day. And so we're renewed by prayer. By the way, this cause is the glory of God in verse 15. It says that we faint not, though our outward man perish. We can struggle, our bodies will wear out and wear down, but we don't have to throw in the towel in as far as our walk with the Lord. Galatians, we've been studying Galatians last year, and we were encouraged not to faint in Galatians 6, verses 8 and 9. "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit," that is the Abba Spirit, "shall of the Abba Spirit, reap life for the age," that is the kingdom. We want to reap blessings to enter the kingdom. You don't reap salvation. Salvation is provided when you believe on the Lord Jesus. This reaping here has to do with the kingdom age. This has to do with entering the kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. And so therefore, verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Reap what? Life for the age. How? If we faint not. And it takes prayer to keep from fainting. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so therefore, if we expect to enter the kingdom, we need to be in prayer. Jesus is our example for that. He endured contradiction of sinners. He endured lawlessness in His day, just like we are in our day. And then in Hebrews 12:3, it says, consider Him, that is Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Why? Lest we be wearied and faint in our minds or in our souls. And I think it's significant that it's in our minds or souls, because that's where we make our decisions. We decide whether to throw in the towel or not. And so therefore we need to consider the fact that Jesus Christ struggled with those around Him, and yet He endured, and He was victorious in His own life, and we too can be the same. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 through 42, we see Jesus Christ struggling in the garden. And it says, and He, that is Jesus, went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. I think one of the things that we need to learn to appreciate is the fact that the will of God is important in our life. If we don't focus on the fact that it's the will of God that's important to our life, then we can become weary in praying. Because we often pray for things that God doesn't want us to have, or it is not the will of God. Paul prayed, Lord, take this thorn away from me. And he prayed three times. How many of us have prayed three times about something and then quit? Well, I know when my aches and pains, I think about my back. You know, the troubles I was having in my back. I think I've prayed more than three times about that. It hurt. It hurt more than three times. And I don't think Paul's thorn in the flesh went away either. And so he says, my grace is sufficient. But anyway, Jesus prayed that if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And then he says, he came unto his disciples and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord has encouraged His apostles to watch and to pray. And I think that we need to be encouraged to watch for what? The second coming of Christ. We need to be looking for His return. Because as we look for His return, we're anticipating the coming kingdom. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure you're in the same boat I was when I was a kid. When mother was coming home or dad was coming home, we made sure that we got everything we needed to get done before they got there. And so therefore we were watching to see when they would come so that we wouldn't be caught doing something we shouldn't be doing. So we are exhorted to watch and to pray that you enter not into temptation. That is, when we are into difficulties in our life and testings in our life, that we don't succumb to them. We can be overcome by testings and trials in our life, and the Lord doesn't want us to be overcome. And the way you are not overcome by things that happen in your life is trusting that God's will is being accomplished for you. You've got to look at it that way. If you don't, you will become weary and you will quit. And God does not want us to quit. We need to appreciate the fact that there are times when we are really willing that we can do the Lord's will. But you know what? The flesh can enter in. the feelings can enter in. We can feel like that God's not with us, but He is. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And it says He went away again in verse 42, the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done. We need to be praying along that line as well. And then again, we need to appreciate the fact that we can get sleepy too. I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, talking about the end times. Don't let that day overtake you as a thief in the night. And Paul exhorts those in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We need to be watching. And to be watching, we need to be awake. That's the reason why it's important to watch and to pray. It's part of it. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. I think it's significant that we need to be sober, not drunken. To be drunken is one of the things that will disqualify us from what? Inheriting the kingdom. And so therefore, we don't need to let our guard down. When you're sleeping, your guard's down. So there are times that people can walk. I know that there are times when Jean's walking in the house and I don't know she's walking in the house because I'm sleeping. Same with her. And so therefore, our guard is down when we're sleeping. So he says here in verse 8, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the armor, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Faith that worketh by love. Faith protects the vital organs of the body, the breastplate. The helmet protects the head, our thought life, which has to do with our prayer life and our walk with the Lord. So we need to watch and pray. Luke 21, verses 29 through 36 tells us the same thing. And he spake a parable to them, or he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they shall... now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now, I included this in this passage of Scripture because we too today are seeing the fig tree blossom or bloom. The fig tree is a type of the nation of Israel, or is a figure of the nation of Israel. That happened in 48. And not only the fig tree has put forth shoots, but all the trees. So there are not only the nation of Israel, but you just think of all the nations that have come to pass since 1948. You think of all the third world countries in Africa and other parts of the world that have blossomed and come forth. So you know what that means? It means that the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to appreciate the fact that it is at hand. And so therefore we need to be thinking about it and praying about it and anticipating it. Because if we do, then we will be ready when He comes. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know what that's saying to me? Count on it. This is the truth. Believe it. My kingdom is close when you see Israel become a nation and when you see other nations becoming independent nations themselves, breaking away from the colonization that they were under for so many years. Verse 34, And take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. You know who's responsible for this? I am. We are. Take heed to ourselves. Why? Because there are times when we have more than we need. My mother always told me, my grandmother too, that idle hands were the devil's workshop. And part of the problem of the sin of Israel was having too much to eat and having too much time on their hands. And so therefore we need to appreciate the fact that we are not to be overcome with excess. Surfeiting has to do with having too much. Drunkenness. The cares of this life. And you know what? These distractions can cause us not to be prepared for the day when the Lord will come. So we need to appreciate the fact that verse 35 is, for as a snare shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth, but it shouldn't come upon us unexpectedly. What are we to be doing? Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Now, I don't look at these things here as the great tribulation. I look at these things as escaping, surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this world, things that would cause me to be not sensitive to the time that the Lord is coming. And so these things here that are, I believe, are found in verse 34 and 35 are things that we need to be watching and praying about so that we will not, so we can escape these, we can be delivered from these, so that we can do what? Stand before the Son of Man. There are going to be those that are going to, that will not be able to stand in His presence. They will be asked to be excused. 1 John 2:28 tells us that we need to abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed from before Him. Now, one of the things about praying is praying in Jesus' name. I thought it would be important for us to include this. In John 14:13-34, it says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Has anyone ever prayed in Jesus' name and not got your prayers answered? I have. Plenty of times. Sometimes we don't understand what it means to pray in Jesus' name. I think this verse helps us to somewhat to understand that. When you're praying in Jesus' name, you're asking God to do what you want done so that who is glorified? The Father. Are you, what you're praying about going to glorify the Father? First of all, you need to know if it's the will of the Father, don't you? If it's the will of the Father, you know for sure that you're going to have that. But if it's not the will of the Father, it will glorify the Father and you're not going to get it. So let's continue. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that's pretty point blank, isn't it? We feel like we got a blank check. Well, I've signed a few blank checks, and you know what we're filled in? Zeros. Zero. Well, let's continue. John 15, verses 7 and 8. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, isn't that interesting? Did you know that the knowledge of the Word of God is going to affect your prayer life? If you don't know the Word of God very well, you're going to be praying for a new car. When the Lord says, I don't really want you to ride in a new one, a weather beater will do. And it keeps you out of the weather, and you're not as tired when you get there. Even though you're not riding in comfort. I was just noticing on the news today, you've heard about having a car that will heat the seats, you know, so that in the winter up here in Minnesota, you can sit on warm seats in the car. I saw where they have seats now that will cool, so that when you sit in the car, you get in the car, your car has cooled your seat so that you don't burn yourself in the summertime. Well, anyway, let's go on. It's the will of the Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Our prayer life should be about bearing fruit, and we need to know what the fruit is and let the Word of God help us with our prayer life. In John 15:16 gives us a little further information along this line. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. This verse often bothered me, because this verse over here told me he would, and over this verse here, it's got the word may in there. And so you've got to know the Scriptures, and you've got to be able to understand that God doesn't always give you what you need until you do need it. Now, the bottom line, I believe, is in John 16:23-24. In that day you shall ask me nothing, that is, in the kingdom. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that what? That your joy may be full. When will my joy be full? When I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. I need to be praying that I can be faithful to the Lord, that I can be a profitable servant. And so when I'm praying in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm praying according to the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says, his name is called the Word of God. Well, what is the Word of God? Well, in Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. This is in the parable of the sower. So the sower was sowing the mysteries of the kingdom. And then in verse 11 it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. When we are praying, we need to have in mind what's in the Word of God. And praying what's in the Word of God has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. Our prayer life should be in the light of His coming kingdom. When we're praying, we should be praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on the earth, as in heaven as it is in earth. In heaven as on earth as it is in heaven. So, we need to be praying in the light of the Word of God, which is His coming kingdom. And then when we appear before Him, we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So, what do we need to be doing? Well, we need to be praying according to His will. And I think we have looked at a few things according to His will. And one thing that we can be assured of is that the Holy Spirit is praying according to His will. In Romans 8:26-27, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. But we know not that we should what we ought to should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. And so we need to know that too. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is praying for us according to the will of God. And what is the will of God for us? Well, one passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. May the Lord help us to be rejoicing, even when we have to count it all joy. Because there are times when we have to count it all joy, because it isn't much fun. Isn't much joy. And we need to pray without ceasing. This word without ceasing is like a cough that you can't get rid of. It just happens. Cough. Cough. Have you ever laid in bed and trying to sleep and you can't because you just keep coughing? That's what this prayer life is all about. I've got to pray about that. I've got to pray about that. And then giving of thanks, acknowledging the fact that what you have has come from the Lord. And this is the will of God for our lives in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help us with our prayer life, that our expectation will be according to the will of God. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the insight that you give us from it, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to abide by it and live by it and to pray by it. We pray that you'd bless the message to each of our hearts. We know, Lord, that there are times when we are weary and we are discouraged. And yet we can take courage in the fact that accepting your will for our life glorifies the Father and the Son. And when our prayer life glorifies you, we will have joy. We will hear well done. And we will enter into your coming kingdom with honor and glory and positions of ruling and reigning with you. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.